Well, we're glad that you are here today. If you've been here the last few weeks, you'll know that we've been doing a Christmas series entitled My God at Christmas, understanding the big ideas of Christmas through the eyes and the heart of a child. Now, if you were here with us a couple weeks ago, you know that we started by talking about this big idea that children seem to get, and that is that God is for us, that God is on our side, that we matter to God, and God wants us to live in ways that show that He matters to us. Last week, we talked to you about how God is with us, another simple message of Christmas. And understood very well through the eyes of a child, but yet should be appreciated by all. Now, we've looked at this passage each week, this Mark 10, verse 15 passage. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it. And then we've been talking about how Christmas is best understood through the eyes of the faith and the faith of a child, that children just understand Christmas so much better than the rest of us. Now, let me put a statement up here on the screen and tell you that I truly believe this, and I hope that you do too. Think about this. In the areas of life that are seemingly insignificant, we would never want to emulate a child. Yet the most important and eternal things, it's the only way that we can experience it. Now, let me give you an illustration to show you how true that statement is. Imagine that if you went into work and you were called into the boss's office and the boss said, hey, we've got a new job that's coming open here. It's a job that we've created. It's a really important job, and I think that you're going to be perfect for it. And you get all excited, right? And then let's say that the boss says, the only thing about this job is that you really need to be able to act like a child. What? Or think about it this way. Think about a coach going into a locker room of a football game before the game started, and he gives his team a rousing pep talk, and in that pep talk, he says, okay, guys, let's go out there and show them what we're made of, and I hope that you play like a bunch of little kids. What? Or maybe, have you ever heard a coach, a basketball coach, gather the team around at a timeout and say, okay, guys, listen, we need to get back into this, and I think the way that we're going to really do it better than any other is that if we can just play like little children. What? I mean, think about it. In so many areas of life, the seemingly insignificant thing, that we would never want to emulate a child. Remember, your parents would say, come on. Act your age. I am, Mom, right? But yet when it comes to this, when it comes to faith, when it comes to heaven, when it comes to eternity, when it comes to understanding Christmas, the best way to understand Christmas is to see it and to experience it through the wonder and the faith of a child. To the world, that seems silly, but to those of us that know Jesus Christ, it makes perfect sense. Matter of fact, let me illustrate to you another way. I had a wedding just a couple years ago, and it actually wasn't somebody here. It was a young man that Arlene and I got to know. He was a college student. He had worked here for a summer, and we got to know this young man, and Graham was his name, and he was getting married over near Philadelphia, and he invited me over. Or us over, and wanted me to perform his wedding ceremony. And I happily said yes to that. And so I went over, and you'd have to know Graham. Graham's just a big kid. Okay, he gets this really good. And so we're at this Holly Hedge Estate, this outdoor, beautiful wedding venue. We're in this courtyard. There's a big fountain back there with water coming out of it. I'm up front. Graham is standing here beside me, and the music has started, and all the family and friends are here, and his bride starts coming down the aisle, okay? And Graham sees his bride coming down the aisle, and I'm going to try to actually show you exactly what he did, okay? All right? The bride starts coming down the aisle, and Graham went, and I'm like, what was that? I'm not kidding you. And his mother that was seated right there on the front, his mother, the groom's mother, said, Graham, act your age. Right out loud. And then his future mother-in-law was sitting on the other side, and she said, Graham, you do whatever you want. Like, this is going to be a memorable wedding, right? I mean, there's so many things in life that if we act like a child, it's just not the proper thing. It's not the accepted thing. It's not even the thing that we want to do if we want to be successful. But yet Jesus said, if you really want to understand the kingdom, you got to have the faith of a little child. I think that's no more true than at Christmas time. Because it's at Christmas time when we learn these big truths about God, that He's for us, that He's with us. And today I want to talk to you about how God forgives us. You know, it's not a subject that we get into at Christmas very, very often, but it's really what Christmas is all about. It's about understanding that God sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for your sin and mine, because we need to be forgiven. I love the passage of Scripture. In 1 John chapter 1, in verse 9, it says this: if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I mean, you think about that particular passage of Scripture, and when you get to this point in the Word, it's amazing how we just need to know and understand that this is one of the greatest gifts that God wraps up at Christmas time. He wraps up His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness. And if we confess our sins, what's it say? It says that He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know what? When I read that passage of Scripture, there's two words that immediately come to my mind. Two words that just jump out at me out of that passage of Scripture. The first one is completely. That God forgives us completely. The Bible says that He has removed, this is in Psalm 103, He's removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Think about that. As far as the east is, or east and west. Think about it. Why didn't He say north and south? Have you ever realized that if you go south, eventually if you walk far enough, you'll start going north. You don't have to change direction. Eventually you'll start north. If you go north, eventually, if you walk far enough, you'll start going south. You don't have to turn around and go any other way. But think about it. If you walk east, you won't ever be going west. It's always east. If you walk west, it'll always be west. It won't eventually turn and start going east. He said, as far as the east is from the west, because what He's done is that He no longer holds our sin against us. Our sin no longer separates us from Him. It's no longer attached to us or associated with us. When we ask God to forgive us of our sins, He forgives us completely. That's a neat thing to know, isn't it? The second word that jumps off the page at me is this word immediately. That He not only forgives me completely, but He forgives me immediately. Isaiah 43 verse 25 says that He remembers your sins no more. The whole verse says this: I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Think about it. The all-knowing Creator of the world, that He makes this willful decision to limit His memory as relates to our sin. That He forgives us completely. He forgives us immediately. And when we ask for that forgiveness, that He gives it, and the sins are all gone. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been making mistakes my whole life. You remember when you made mistakes when you were younger, let's say in college, when you wrote those term papers? And what did you do? You had this little bottle of Whiteout, right? I think I used 72 bottles of Whiteout when I got my college degree. You know, it's neat because later on, you didn't use those anymore. They gave you these little things that you just kind of, you know, it had this little film and you put over it, right? Or if you're going to go way back, here you go. Some of you are really old in here. You remember erasers? But what do we have now? Man, we got spell check, and we got, you know, before we ever print that thing out, we can make it absolutely perfect. You know, I was typing something not too long ago, and I couldn't spell this word, and I couldn't even spell it well enough or close enough that the spell checker could tell me the right way to do it. Have you ever had this happen? But you see, down through the ages, everybody's needed to be forgiven. Everybody's needed their sins erased. The whiteout of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to cover the multitude of our sins. And the neat thing is that Christmas teaches us that He will forgive us completely and immediately. I think we need to know this because living under grace is hard. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor John? I think this is such a true statement. Living under grace is hard. Let me give you an example. You know, for example, if you decide that you want to take somebody out for lunch and you invite them to lunch and you go to lunch and when they bring the bill and you say, hey, I'm going to get this, I'm going to treat you, what's usually the first thing that people say to you? Oh, my goodness, no, I don't want to, I'll treat you. No, I want to treat you. I invited you out, and you kind of fight over the bill, right? Why? Because it's hard to accept grace. It's hard to accept things that we don't think we've earned or we don't think we deserve or we don't think that someone really loves us enough to give us something for free. Or maybe like this, have you ever had this happen? You invite somebody out and you say, listen, this is my treat. And they say, okay, I really appreciate that. And you take them out to lunch and you have your lunch and they bring the bill and they let you pay the bill, but then they say this, I'll get the tip. Right? Why do they say? They say that because grace is hard. Living under grace is hard. It's hard to accept things that we know we didn't earn, things that we don't deserve. And it's that way sometimes, I think, with God. You know, we just naturally live in this law kind of judgmental kind of spirit where we just question whether or not anything is really ever free or whether or not somebody really wants to give us something for nothing. Romans says it this way, for sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. And as difficult as it is to accept something for nothing from somebody else, folks, listen, accept, appreciate this beautiful free gift that God wants to give to all of us. And it's wrapped up under all of our trees. What is it? It's that God is for us, that God is with us, and that God forgives us. And even though it might be hard to live under grace, we need to do it. You know, my wife teaches me this all the time. My wife is one of the most giving, loving, caring people ever. But man, she is a hard one to do that for. We're all like that somewhat, aren't we? And I think we just need to understand and to appreciate this free gift that God has given to us. And then when we do, a couple things can happen. Number one, our affection can be changed. And number two, our direction can be changed. In other words, living under the grace of God propels us to act in a certain way. It changes our affection, changes our heart, and it changes the direction of our lives. A couple days ago, I was driving, and my phone rang. It was my daughter, Kristen, our youngest. I answered the phone. I said, hey, Kristen, how are you, sweetheart? And she interrupted me right away. She said, Dad, I can't talk. Just tell me yes or no. Said, I want to bid on this thing that Tanya Tufano has put on Facebook, and I really, really want it. If I get it, will you buy it for me for Christmas? Yes or no, Dad? I'm like, yes. And she hung up on me. And it was like 60 seconds later, she calls back and she said, Dad, that was awesome. Thank you so much. It is so beautiful. Now what it is, Tanya Tufano. Tanya's right here, yeah. I'll tell you a little bit about the things over in the fellowship hall later on. But Tanya, great craftsman, makes all this ceramic stuff. Our house is full of it. Anyway, she's selling these things to support her daughter on her mission trip. And Kristen saw one of these things, and she really, really wanted it. And she called and had that conversation with me, and I said yes. And she hung up on me, and then she called me back. And then she's telling me what it's all about. And then she says, "And Dad, it's only $85. You know what's amazing about that conversation? Is that my free gift to her, Me saying yes to her, it caused some things to happen in her life and in her heart, just for that moment. Her affection, her direction. She called to say thank you. She called to tell me that she really loved me and she appreciated me. And don't forget to give Tanya her $85. Isn't it amazing when we really get something for free, what God does to our heart? Let me show you. I think sometimes the greatest examples of things like this are things out of the Word. Let me show you a passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 7 in verse 37 and 38. This is amazing. Watch this. It says, a woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume and she stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Now think about this passage of Scripture and keep in mind that this woman's encounter with the grace of God through Jesus Christ, it changed her affection and it changed her direction. It changed the affection of her heart and it changed the direction of her life. Look at this. It says a woman. You know, that's kind of kind description of her, because most likely what this woman was that she was a prostitute. And it said that she came and she had an alabaster jar of perfume. And if you read the history of this particular time in Jesus' day, the prostitutes of that day always kept a bottle of perfume so that they could freshen themselves. And in many ways, as men who may want to be with them would walk by, they could tell by the aroma of that person and the type of perfume that she wore that she was available. Imagine that this kind of woman, it said that she heard that Jesus was at the Pharisee's house. It doesn't say how she knew about him, but she had to know something about him. She had to know something about his temperament, about his love and affection and forgiveness and grace and mercy, how he gave it out so freely because she just barged into a home of a Pharisee where she would never go. And all of a sudden, she's at the feet of Jesus, and the very ointment that she was using in her trade as a prostitute, she poured out in adoration and love for Jesus Christ. And she humbled herself in this way. You see, folks, what happened was that the grace of God through the person of Jesus Christ, it changed the affection of her heart, which in turn changed the direction of her life. She poured out on Jesus any future opportunity or desire that she had to sin. Think about that. Because while everyone else stood by and talked about what a waste and how much it would have cost or how much it could have sold for, she poured it out. It was symbolic of pouring out her whole life of her past sins and her future opportunities at the feet of Jesus. You see, the grace of God is dangerous in that way, because God's grace is lavish, it's excessive, it's outrageous, it's scandalous. And the person who receives this wonderful gift must do so with childlike faith, because no one would do what this lady did if she did not have the faith and the understanding of a child at the feet of Jesus. But her encounter with this beautiful gift of grace gave her a different view of her past and a different hope for her future. You see, that's the gift that God wants to give us at Christmas, the gift of His amazing, amazing grace. You know, my daughter, Sarah, sent me a picture of my grandson, Jack, the other day, and Jack was standing over a large basket of toys, kid's only a year and a half old, and this basket was like mounded up with all kinds of different toys. And she sent me a video also, and he was taking the toys out one by one, and he was barely paying any attention at all to each toy as he just threw it this way and threw it that way, and he hit the dog with one, and he threw one that almost hit Sarah. He's just going back and forth with all these toys just all over the room until he got about half of it emptied. And then he took the box and he actually turned it over and he dumped the rest of the toys out on the floor. And she's still filming. And then he sets the box back up and he reaches down into the bottom of the box and he pulls out the cardboard lining of the bottom of the box. And he goes and sits down amongst all the toys and he plays with the cardboard lining of the box. You see, that's how most of the things you're going to get this Christmas will end up. They'll end up lost or forgotten or discarded. But I guarantee you that if you open up the beautiful gift of God's grace this Christmas, it will never lose its shine or its allure to you. And it'll be a gift like this woman that changed her affection and changed her direction. And she never lost sight of this beautiful gift. That's God's gift to all of us this Christmas. Let's pray. God, thank you that through the eyes of a child and faith like a child, that, Lord, we can appreciate our God at Christmas. But, Lord, the only way that we'll be able to do that is have faith like a child. So, God, we thank you for these wonderful gifts that you've given us at Christmas. That because of Christmas and the gift of Christ, we know that you are for us. Because of this wonderful gift at Christmas, we know that you are with us. Because of this wonderful gift at Christmas, we know, Lord, that you forgive us, that your grace is available to us all. May, Lord, it be a gift that we unwrap this Christmas, and may it be the gift that never loses its shine or its rightful place in the depths of our heart, Lord, each and every day. Father, may it be so, may it be realized as we sing and share and worship together. In Jesus' name, amen.